sometimes. Something beautiful happens in this world. You don't know how to express yourself, so you just gotta sing. A girl, let me do it. It literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest.
Never guess where I just came from. I had sex. If I had to describe the feeling, it was the best. When I had the sex, man, my penis felt great. And I called my parents right after I was done.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Guess what I just did? Had sex, undressed, saw her boobies and the rest.
Was sure nice of her to let you do that thing.
Nice of any girl ever.
Now sing.
I just had sex.
Screw it, I ain't one to argue with a good thing. She could be my wife,
that good.
The best 30 seconds of my life.
I'm so humbled by a girl's ability to let me do it.
Cause honestly, I'd have sex with a pile of manure. With that in mind, the soft, nice smelling girl's better.
But she let me wear my chain and my turtleneck sweater.
So this one's dedicated to them girls that let us flop around on top of them. If you're near or far, whether short or tall, we wanna thank you all.
Been a racist.
Doesn't matter, had sex.
She put a bag on my head.
Still counts. I just had sex. And my dreams came true.
Dreams came true.
So if you had sex in the last 30 minutes, then you qualify to sing with me. I just had sex.
Everybody sing.
And it felt so good.
We all had sex.
So good. I wanna let me put my penis inside.
I wanna tell the world.
Episode 23 here, and I am joined by the returning, after a much too long absence, Scott Toomey. How are you, Scott?
Greetings, how are you? Well, it's time to play the Welcome Back Cotter theme song, I think.
I think so. I wish I had that somewhere on my computer. that would be great. Well, you're going to have to sing it for me instead, though.
Welcome back.
There you go.
That's as good as I can do.
I was going to do it, but I don't think my voice can even get that high. So I'm kind of miserable today.
Well, preach, brother.
Yeah. For those outside of the New England area, or I don't even know how far this thing stretched, we got hit by a massive amount of snow between last night and today. And I had a snow day at work, and I think a lot of people ended up staying home that probably yes. could have been working. And I would have much rather worked. Because
I think I can I echo the same sentiment, sir.
Oh my god, I was expecting to have a nice relaxing day, catch up on a lot of the stuff that I needed to get done for work, and none of that happened.
That's never the case. I had so many things that I wanted to do today that I just didn't do.
Not to mention that I will not be paid for this day because I'm not officially on a contract yet at work, and not until next Friday at least. And So yeah, I got no money and I ended up working just about as long as my regular workday. I'll go into a little more detail here for you. I spent a good 3 hours this morning shoveling out the driveway of my parents' house where I currently live. And one of the reasons it was such a pain in the butt is because we have 4 cars in the driveway. So the workarounds, there was a lot of shovel work when normally there could have been snowblower work. And when I talk about massive snowfall, there were a good 18 inches on the ground. Yeah. So I'm sure you got something very similar.
Yeah, I'd almost even say probably like 20, maybe even like 2 feet. And it's real heavy snow, too.
It is heavy. Yeah, there was no fluff here.
No fluff whatsoever.
At least it wasn't slushy, though, because that's when it's really, really heavy.
The worst part about it for me was we have two parking spaces. Me and Meg's cars are parked right next to each other.
Right.
And I have to walk, you know, in between them. And, you know, it's 2 feet of snow. So I'm walking in between two cars and 2 feet of snow and just trying to brush the cars off first.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense to shovel those paths and then brush snow all into them.
Yep.
So I brush the cars off. And then by the time I go to shovel, that snow is all packed in from when I was walking on it. So it makes it even more difficult to shovel. So,
it was
about 2 hours for me. And I only got one of our cars really taken care of. So I got to probably actually go back out after we are done and shovel some more.
Oh, it's so miserable.
Yeah.
Well, we got the driveway shoveled here. And then my dad comes up and poses a question to me. And I talked a little bit last week about how I was so annoyed that I had to work those couple days doing electrical work over vacation. Mm. But I didn't talk about the one of the worst parts of it, which is the way that my dad asks me to do things is one of the most annoying things in the entire world, because he doesn't say, "Hey, I need some help next week. Could you give me a hand?" It's always, "Would you like to?" So after we're done the 3 hours of shoveling, we go inside, and I never knew what was coming next because, I don't know, that's the other thing my dad does is I always think there's one task that needs to be done, and when it's done, it's done. But there's always something else he has in mind that he doesn't let me know about until the first task is done. So that makes it so much worse. If I knew everything I had to do up front, at least I could pace my mentality better.
Absolutely.
But we finish shoveling after 3 hours, and he comes up to me and says, "Would you like to help me shovel out your brother's driveway?" Of course, I'm thinking, hell no. Hell no, I don't want to. I'm going to because it's my brother, but I don't want to.
Right.
And the major, we had to more or less do it for him because right now my sister-in-law is sick, and my niece and my nephew are also both sick. He was sick. My brother was sick like all this week, but now they all caught it. So, it's been a crazy week at their place.
Terrible.
But so you have to do that. That's a family thing.
Absolutely.
But don't ask me if I want to. Clearly, you know I don't want to.
Yeah, it's a silly question.
Yeah, it's rhetorical. It just drives me insane. So if he just said, "Mark needs to have his driveway shoveled out, let's go do it."
Right.
Fine. Don't ask me if I want to.
Don't spring it on me after I just finished doing hours.
That too. So when all is said and done, I spent at least, if not more, than 5 hours shoveling out snow today.
Terrible.
And I am not a fan because my normal work day is 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty miserable. I finished literally about an hour ago.
Ugh. And guess how much of it's probably going to melt tomorrow?
Probably not too much, actually. As far as I know, the temperature is going to stay fairly freezing.
I thought it was supposed to be a little bit sunny, though. So maybe I don't know.
That'll take care of a little bit. At least it'll clean off our cars.
Yeah.
That's about it. That was the other worst part, too. There was so much piled up on the car, like you said, that after you shovel, you got to scrape all that off, and then you got to take care of the new stuff that fell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miserable.
Dislike.
So how is your, since we haven't heard from you in so long, how was your Christmas and New Year's and all that?
Everything was pretty good. Very low key, very basic. Not really much to talk about.
That's
I started
right.
playing basketball on Sundays.
Did you?
One of Meg's friends' dads It's like his, it's like all older dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I played, they more or less kind of like ran circles around me.
Oh, wow.
But then things started to change once I started to get back in the groove, you know?
Yeah.
But I haven't been in a couple of weeks because there's been snowstorms and there's been, late nights out the night before, and it's just a little over an hour drive for me because they play out in Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like just about an hour, and we start playing at 8 o'clock, so I have to leave here at like 7, which is about the same that I would need to do for work anyway, but it's on a Sunday, so it's a little bit more difficult motivating myself to get up early on a Sunday than it is during the week.
Oh yeah, work. Sunday's lazy day.
Yeah, exactly. So
normally during the week when you're already up and about and you're keeping a schedule, it's so much easier to get stuff done.
Right, but obviously when we move at the end of the month, it's going to cut that commute quite a bit for both work and basketball. So I'll be quite happy.
I'm still not a fan of this move.
I don't know what to tell you.
Moving further away. Further away. I don't like it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you and some other people aren't too pumped, but I still have a lot of business that I have to conduct back towards the Central Mass area.
Gotcha.
So, haircuts and visiting the parents, you know, stuff like that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing I want to just let the listeners know about is as I'm making a lot of changes this year to the site and the show, I have actually put up an events calendar on the site, which is right in the main navigation bar. You should see a link called calendar. We're going to start putting the recording schedule up there. So this current episode is listed for today, even though I didn't put a time on it. In the future, once I finally do decide on which mixer I'm buying and get some more mics and stuff,
yeah.
I want to start doing these shows live so we can take calls and whatnot. So we're going to need to have some sort of a schedule posted. And a lot of the times the shows won't even get posted up there until like the week beforehand, because it's rare that we schedule so far ahead at this point.
Right.
But that's something that's there. And if we have any other events going on, like what the hell was it? Comic and toy show that we were at in March, stuff like that, we'll all go up there too. So who knows?
Very cool.
One more improvement as we go along. The other thing I want to talk about really briefly before we get into our geek outs and freak outs is I have to ask you if you watched the premiere episodes of The Cape at all.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the main guy I'm a fan of, I don't even know his name, but all I know is that he was on the last season of ER.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big ER fan and I thought he was great in that. He's actually Australian. I'm pretty sure he's not Australian in The Cape,
mm-hmm.
but we DVR'd it. And then most of my friends that watched it live said that it was junk. So I deleted it off the DVR, and I don't even think I'm going to attempt to watch it. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
I was excited for it because, frankly, anything superhero, I'll give it a shot.
Absolutely, sure.
So I did watch the first episode, and I don't understand. I thought when they were going to do a premiere episode, it was going to be a two-hour, like, full movie intro thing like that, but it was actually two separate episodes, which I think was the first problem.
Yeah.
Because the first episode moved way too fast. Like, he got framed, he found the circus people, he trained to be the Cape, and all of a sudden he's fighting the guy who framed him, like, the big baddie already. Like, it's crazy. It was way too fast. Within the first episode, you can't fight the archenemy right away.
Right.
Build up to definitely. It. Not to mention, he owns like a huge company. He's kind of like a Lex Luthor-ish guy in that manner, but he also controls the police and everything. So that's something to definitely build up to. Plus, he met his this chick called Orwell, who is played by Summer Glau.
Oh,
that's enough reason to watch the show right there. But she's kind of like the Oracle, I guess.
Yeah.
To make the comic book connection. So she sits behind the computer and talks to him over the headset.
Okay.
But they meet each other and she starts helping him right away. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, what? What happened? Like, don't you need to build up some level of trust or I don't know. It was just too much too soon.
So it moved a little bit too fast in terms of plot development. And
way
character
too
development,
fast.
Stuff like
way
that.
Too okay. fast. It was.
I would think that a more drawn-out, two-hour, single episode would have made more sense. Definitely.
Absolutely. So I did watch the second episode, too, which was paced a little better because they didn't have to deal with all the origin stuff as much.
Yeah.
It was a little better. One of the things that really annoys me about the show is that every segment, they kind of intro with a little caption. And it's kind of telling you what's coming up, and I don't want that.
Oh.
I think they're trying to be comic booky in that sense.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Wow. Well, to put it into perspective for how it was explained to me of how bad it was, I have a friend that hates Smallville.
Oh.
And as everybody that knows me knows, I love Smallville.
Right.
So he said that the Cape was so bad that it made Smallville look like a 9-time Emmy winner.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, my buddies are kind of sticklers when it comes to the comics and the superheroes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I think they have higher standards than a lot of other people.
Sure.
Especially the, you know, normal TV watchers, I guess you could say. Like, people just maybe flipping through or that saw the commercials and said to themselves, oh, cool, looks like Superman or looks like Batman or whatever, you know what I mean? I think their standards are a little bit higher. So I would venture to say that it probably wasn't as bad as he says. But like I said, I don't know if I'm ever going to try it out. So,
well, we all knew this was going to happen with the popularity of superhero movies and everything and them just becoming so much part of the mainstream now that there was going to be horrible like creations along the way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not great, but it has potential. I'll hang for a couple more episodes, but if it doesn't get a lot better, then I'll duck out. I'm still watching No Ordinary Family for some reason, which I can't. I still can't figure out why I'm still watching it, but I am.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think I just want to like superhero stuff so badly that I just hang in there. I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, shame on you.
I know. I'm a horrible role model for geeks everywhere.
Yep.
So speaking of which, let's get into some geek outs.
Let's do it.
Yay!
What are you geeking out over this week?
Well, sir, I actually have a few of them written down because I was afraid I was going to forget. I will preface by saying that one of them, I know you don't like this, one of them is mixed martial arts related.
I knew it was coming.
I know.
I knew it.
But it also crosses over a little bit into the pro wrestling world.
Okay.
I don't know if that's okay.
We talked about wrestling quite a bit last week, actually. So.
Okay, cool. Well, they did just announce there was a lot of banter and a lot of speculation as to what was going to happen as far as Brock Lesnar's future in the UFC. As everybody who watches mixed martial arts knows, he got his ass kicked about 2 months ago and lost the heavyweight title. A lot of people were saying because there was an interaction between Undertaker and Brock Lesnar after the Lesnar fight, which was like a totally bizarre and random occurrence and probably wouldn't have been recorded and viewed by so many people if that one guy that does a lot of MMA interviews wasn't there at that particular time. I don't know. It was very, very, very bizarre.
Yep.
So there's a lot of speculation that after the beatdown, he just didn't want to be a fighter anymore. And that, supposedly Vince McMahon was going to throw a lot of money towards his way to get him to appear at WrestleMania this year.
Interesting.
But then just yesterday, actually, Dana White, who is the president of the UFC, announced that Brock Lesnar is going to be one of the two coaches on the upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter.
Really?
Yes, and for those who don't know what that is, it's basically just a reality show where they get about 14 to 16 hopefuls, and they have fights every week, and they narrow it down to two guys at the end, and they fight each other for like a six-figure contract in the UFC. Very much like Tough Enough for those who are wrestling fans.
Yes, yes.
So
what season is that now for Ultimate Fighter?
13th.
Really?
Yeah. They've actually gone to a 13th season.
They must be doing more than one a year.
They do two a year, actually. Yeah, okay. They do. It's weird. They have one that starts in the fall, and then they have one that starts in the spring. So this one will start. This one will start in May.
Okay.
Yeah, and the most recent one just got done maybe about a month or two ago.
I was gonna say I didn't think it was on for 13 years already.
Yeah, I know, right?
Good Lord.
So that's one of my geek outs. Do you do one now? I can't remember how the format for this
Oh, no,
was.
It's all you right now, man.
Okay.
Floor's yours.
My other geek out is something that I'm a little excited about because I actually just got done reading the full the full run of the trade paperback. I bought the trade paperback of All-Star Superman.
Oh, yes.
And the All-Star Superman animated movie will be coming out on DVD at the end of February.
Really excited for that.
Yeah, I'm also geeking out about that. And those are my two. Those are my only two, really. My only two for the week.
All right, cool. Well, I only have one, so.
Okay.
Right now, I am pretty hardcore geeking out over the PlayStation Move.
You'll have to explain to me what that is, because I'm an Xbox man.
Oh, yeah. PlayStation Move is the motion controller for PlayStation. So, for Wii owners, they have the Wiimote, and they wave that around. Now we have a Move controller that interacts with the PlayStation Eye. So, it's detected by the webcam that goes there, and you basically, it works like a Wiimote, more or less.
Okay, and Xbox is the Kinect, right?
Yes, and that is controller-less.
Oh, yes. My brother got that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he got it with some dancing games for my niece, and apparently she goes apeshit over it. So.
I've heard that the Kinect is actually very accurate and a lot better than people expected it to be.
Yeah, I haven't tried it out yet, but I'd like to get over to their place eventually and see what it's all about.
Yeah, I have not either, but I am digging the PlayStation Move, and right now I've only played the one game that comes with it, which is Sports Champions. It offers, it's very similar to the Wii Sports thing, where they give you a selection of sports games and you play through them, and you can tell that Sports Champions did not want to just rip off the Wii, so they have different things in there.
Yeah.
I believe you can play, let's see, let's hope I can remember them all. There is Frisbee Golf, which is interesting.
I've played that live, actually. It's very, very fun.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really cool. I wasn't super familiar.
Honestly, but it's kind of a game for stoners, if you want to know the truth.
But that's really fun in there. There's also ping pong, because they didn't want to do tennis.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Archery is a good time. Let's see, beach volleyball, bocce of all things, go figure.
Bocce,
yeah. Bocce's and cool. The one that I'm enjoying the most is the gladiator duel.
Oh, nice.
So you do have a sword and a shield, and you kind of whack on the other guy there. But I have ordered a second Move controller, and once I get that in, I can use that with a couple of the games. I actually use the two Move controllers like together, so when I'm doing archery, I'll have one controller as the bow and the other as the arrow.
Oh.
And when I'm playing the gladiator duel, I'll have one as the sword and one as the shield.
Awesome.
So that's pretty cool. So I'm waiting for that to come in, and then I'll have a good time with that.
Cool.
But it's actually, as far as accuracy goes, I think some people might have been ragging on it. I don't know. I'm getting mixed reports, even on the internet and stuff. But it's no less accurate than the Wii. I mean, I haven't used the Kinect, like I said, but I would actually say that the motion tracking is a little more accurate than the Wii. So
yeah,
I really, with this in the game, I don't see a reason for anyone to buy a Wii unless they're looking for some sort of exclusive content from that console.
Right.
And I think that was really the whole move by PlayStation and Xbox. No pun intended on the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what I'm geeking out over right now.
Very cool.
How about freakouts?
Oh, freakout!
Freakouts. I got one, and it's actually kind of. I don't know if it's old news or not, really, but I read somewhere. I want to think maybe it was on the SupermanHomepage.com, where someone had said that the original plan. Okay, just to preface real quick for those that don't know, Smallville is in its last full season, the 10th season, and at some point during this season, we're definitely going to see Tom Welling wearing the Superman outfit.
Supposedly.
The classic red, blue, and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, the original plan was actually to have him wearing it the last four episodes of the show.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But, again, from what this person said, the folks that are working on the new movie, Zack Snyder and company, apparently stuck their nose in where it didn't belong, and now things have changed a bit. Now, what that means, who knows? Maybe they didn't want him wearing the one that they were going to have him wear. Maybe they want him to wear the suit that they're going to use in the new movie. in the last episode as like a big reveal or whatever. I don't know if they're going to try to, if they're going to try to put the Smallville together with the new film or what, but that was all that I heard. And I'm kind of freaked out about it, because that would have been really awesome if he was going to wear it for the last four episodes and not just the last episode, which I think is what the plan is now. I wish I could remember where I read that. I'm pretty sure it was on SupermanHomepage.com. So, yeah, I'm a little upset.
Well, I know the general consensus among fans is that he would most likely be in it for like the last minute of the last episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see him in the costume for the last four. That's amazing.
Yeah, it would be awesome. It would be totally awesome.
Yeah. I would like it even more if what you said is true and Zack Snyder kind of put his nose in there because there was going to be some connection between the two. I would actually love to see Tom Welling just go right into the role for the movie. That would be epic.
That would be great.
I know a lot of Smallville haters would not enjoy that, but if you never watched Smallville, you'll see that he'll just play a really great Superman.
Absolutely. And he's like, you know, everybody says, you know, Christopher Reeve was the Superman of our generation, more or less. But for a lot of younger kids, Tom Welling is Superman for their generation.
Sure.
You know? I mean, Brandon Routh had the one movie, so I wouldn't necessarily say that he's, you know, Superman for a new generation. But I think Tom Welling more fits the mold because he's been playing Clark Kent for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. 10 years versus one movie is definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I love Brandon Routh, but I personally would think that Tom Welling is a Superman Clark Kent for the newer generation.
Absolutely. And I totally think they could go into the Superman movie and not necessarily connect it to Smallville, as in saying that everything that happened in Smallville happened and we have to bring that all into the movie. I think they could absolutely do it standalone and introduce characters that maybe they've used before. Like, we could see a totally new Lex, even though Michael Rosenbaum, I would love to see him come back. That's never going to happen, unfortunately.
Well, I did the last thing I read about that was on the same website where it said the producers are being cautiously optimistic, quote unquote, about him coming back for a minimal appearance. So,
yeah, I almost wanted to get into full Smallville talk right now, but I don't want to derail us too much because there are a lot of things about the show I'd love to talk about right now.
Well, maybe we can do a standalone Smallville ep towards the, I don't know, whenever.
We may have to. I don't want to step on Dangerous Memories' toes too much because I know they want to do the full, like, wrap up at the end. But
oh, absolutely. I'm sure. Love maybe to do I'll be getting a call.
Lines. Yeah. Yeah. I'd ask Todd to be a part of that too because I'd love to join you guys for it.
Yeah. It'd be fun.
So we'll see. Do you have any other freakouts or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's not really a freak. Well, it could be. Maybe it is a freak out or not. But a couple of days ago, some of the movie websites posted some pictures of what was supposed to be a Batman in high school animated cartoon called Gotham High.
I saw that image, yes.
Yeah. So I guess maybe it's kind of because, I mean, these guys were kind of excited about it. And they were like, we'd love to see it show up on Cartoon Network or something like that. I don't know. It looked kind of goofy to me.
Yeah.
But maybe that was the point, but it's, I guess maybe that's kind of a freak out that they didn't do it, because it would have been kind of cool to see where they could have gone with it, because they had, like, the Joker was in the high school with Bruce Wayne. I don't get how you do that.
Right.
But then again, I wouldn't never in a million years thought that they in Smallville they would have had Michael Lex Luthor and Clark Kent being friends, so sure. Who the hell knows, you know.
Sure. I'm glad that they're not going that. Now, was that definitely from animators, or was that just some fan graphic on the internet?
No, it was definitely from the people that wanted to do it, the animators that wanted to do it. I'm pretty sure that those were legit drawings and what would you call them? Like production drawings, or like God damn it! I wish I knew what I was trying to say, but
they're basically concept sketches and
Exactly. Okay. Yes, concept art. There you go. That's what I was looking for.
Well, I'm gonna think the premise is somewhat flawed to begin with, because when you think about, like, it's hard to compare. Like, I guess the fact that everything would be taking place in a school is going to hinder what they can really do with the show, because using Bruce Wayne's mentality, if he's going to school with these people, he's going to be like, F school. I'm just going to like beat the crap out of these people here and drag them to jail.
Yeah. Well, it was the when I think if I read it correctly, it was that when they were explaining Bruce Wayne's character in the cartoon, it was like, oh, all the other kids in school are into, you know, sports and social stuff, and Bruce is really into electronics and, you know, stuff. And it was just like, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, it sounds lame. I don't know. I hate to judge before you really see the end product, but it sounds lame.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am freaking out over a couple different things. First of which, I had mentioned the Move. I had the biggest pain of a butt time trying to just get a Move controller on its own because I had ordered the bundle originally, which came with Sports Champions and a Move controller. Yeah. And I also had gotten iPet for free, which still hasn't shipped out, and I have to contact Sony. iPet, which is, yes, it is another Move game where you basically have a virtual pet. I would compare it, I guess, to a much more advanced version of a Tamagotchi.
Okay.
I played the demo on my PlayStation. You basically put the Move controller below the TV, and you point it directly at the floor. Uh-huh. And it shows what the webcam's capturing. So it shows my floor and like my legs and everything on the ground. There's a certain area of the screen that you're supposed to sit above because the bottom half of the screen is the iPet's kind of play area where he moves around, but he walks around on your floor.
Yeah.
And he comes out of like a little hole in the ground and you play around with him and everything. And it seems kind of fun. And I know eventually when I get an apartment again, I'm probably going to end up in a place that doesn't allow pets, and this is maybe a lamer version, but hey, you know what?
What the hell?
It's fun. Why not? And it's free, so I'll take it. But that hasn't shipped out. I have to contact Sony and find out why that hasn't shipped out. But I actually did end up buying a second Move controller from Sony directly because I ended up going to, I think this is on Monday. Yeah, Monday. I went to originally Best Buy. I went to Walmart, which I hate going to, and then I went to Target, and none of them had a Move controller just by itself. I could buy a bundle again, but I didn't want to spend $99. I just wanted the Move controller itself. They had lots of the navigation ones, which is almost like the nunchuck for Wii, but I don't necessarily need that for any of the games I have right now, so I'm going to wait until there's a game I need it for to buy it. But I had to buy it online because it was just nowhere. And there were even spots on the shelves for it, and they were just gone. So I'm assuming that the Move is selling fairly well.
Yeah. What's the standalone controller go for price-wise?
$49.
And the bundle was $9. Yeah.
The bundle's $99. And I don't need another copy of Sports Champions.
Yeah.
So, and all the Move games are $40, so that does that does set the price point exactly where it should be, I guess. So that was that's the first thing. I just get annoyed. Mm-hmm. And I even checked on the Sony website. And on Tuesday, I went down to the Rentham outlets because it said that the Sony store there did have them in stock. And they had none. And I asked the guy, and he's like, yeah, we have none. I'm like, well, your website says you do, so get that and check.
Change it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So what'd you get on Amazon?
I ended up buying it right from Sony online because Amazon even had them back ordered.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right?
Big time.
It's crazy. So I don't know if it's one of those things where the company makes them scarcely to kind of make it seem like it's more popular than it really is, or if they really are just selling that well.
Yeah, I don't know. It could go either way, probably.
Yeah.
Sony's been known for some shady business practices.
That's true. my other freak out this week is actually about Saturday Night Live.
Ah.
Which I haven't really brought up on the show at all, I don't think, but.
Okay.
I haven't been an active watcher of Saturday Night Live, not on a regular basis. For one, I'm usually doing stuff on Saturday nights these days.
Yeah.
And I would actually rather spend my time watching a movie than watching Saturday Night Live at this point.
Yeah.
But I did check out I love having all the internet video and everything now these days.
Yeah,
I watched the latest one where Jim Carrey hosted, because for people that are aware of how Jim Carrey's career started off, it was on In Living Color, which is a sketch comedy show. So I thought, hey, perfect match. This is going to be awesome.
Right.
It was okay.
Yeah. You know what happened was,
did you watch it?
Yeah. Meg and I DVR it whenever there's going to be a guest host that we, like, basically. And Jim Carrey happened to fall into that category. So we DVR'd it, but because of the unfortunate events that took place in Arizona, the news went over by like a half an hour. So we missed about a half an hour. So we didn't get to watch all of the episode. But what I did see, I did enjoy for the most part.
For me, I would say the highlights were the Black Swan sketch, which was really funny. That was a lot of classic Carrie. And I don't think the audience caught on to this because there was no real reaction to it. But he started doing the ballerina movement from Ace Ventura.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And there was no reaction. And that just shows how horrible an audience they get there. But
yeah,
I think one of the things people were expecting were some of the hits. I definitely was. Maybe even a knockoff of Fire Marshal Bill, even if he couldn't do the actual character, just to kind of reference that stuff. But he did. He had nothing in reference to older things.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would want to see any of the older stuff on Saturday Night Live, because that was stuff. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's stuff that he did on In Living Color. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I was hoping for it. That's just me. But the other sketch that was pretty decent was actually, you might have actually missed it if it was in that portion of it. There was one where he was a psychic contacting dead people.
I did see that one.
You did.
Yeah,
that was and good. He was doing all the impressions. That was really great too.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube and look up early Jim Carrey, you can see one of his acts where he just does like 30 impressions, and they're all amazing because he's so good at like contorting his facial features to look just like that person. It's ridiculous. Meg and I actually just watched the Inside the Actor's Studio episode with him that was just on.
Yep.
And he actually does do a little Fire Marshal Bill on that.
Oh,
so
no
maybe
kidding.
You should check that out.
His Jimmy Stewart is amazing.
Yeah, and he did his James Dean, and he did his when they were talking about Man on the Moon.
Yeah,
he did his Elvis, which is just phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was good. The only thing I hate about that show is that the editing is so bad because they talk for like hours, but they edit it all down into a 1 hour show. So.
Right. Right. They should release the whole thing somewhere.
I think they do. I think they do usually put it out on DVD, but I don't. You might have to go through. What the hell channel shows that? Is that Bravo?
God, I don't even know.
I don't even know what Bravo. I don't know how Bravo works with their DVD releases, if they release them into stores or if they just sell them on their site. I know, like, the History Channel, they only sell their DVDs, like, on their site, I think. So
yeah.
But, man, I don't know. Whatever.
Well, the other thing about SNL that's been bothering me for probably years at this point, and it's not even necessarily related to just the Jim Carrey episode. When they started doing the like setups as a prelude to what's coming next, that was around the time that I kind of stopped watching. That annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that either. It's kind of like almost like giving it away.
I know they probably do it as in, well, yeah, they're totally giving away what they're going to do if it's something familiar, but I love the surprise of like seeing that familiar sketch come up and just come up. I don't want to know that it's coming after the commercial, but I think they do it as a way to keep people watching.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is coming up next, but I don't want to see that. I never liked that since I don't even remember when they made that change, but it aggravates me.
No, Meg and I have come to the realization that the show is super, super hit or miss.
Yeah.
And like on a good night, you'll get maybe like two really good sketches.
Yep.
One that's okay. And then a bunch that are just meh. And, the digital short usually delivers most of the time.
Right. Right.
Did they have one on the Jim Carrey?
They did not. No,
they didn't have one. Okay. No. Well, we didn't miss that. So that's good.
I was, God, I was going to say something. I just lost my train of thought. Damn it.
Bummer.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm sure it wasn't anything that important, though.
Maybe it'll come back up.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, that's my freak out anyway. That's pretty much all I got.
Cool.
But now it's time to play everybody's favorite game show. America loves it. And that is Top 3.
Super.
3, 2, 1. Let's see. I know you're a movie guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And last week we talked about what my top 10 movies of 2010 were. So I'm not going to necessarily stay in that vein, but I'm going to kind of go in that general idea and ask you what the top three movie performances were in 2010.
Ooh.
I know you watched probably a hefty amount of last year's movies.
I did. I will have to say Natalie Portman in Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Christian Bale in The Fighter. I think he's probably a shoo-in for the best supporting for the best supporting awards.
So far, you're 2 for 2 with my list.
And my last one would be James Franco in 127 Hours.
I had a feeling you'd say that. And the reason...
He's amazing.
I would have probably included it on mine, but I actually haven't seen it yet.
Ah.
The third one I had was Tom Hardy in Inception.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of like a dark horse because I didn't know who he was until I saw Inception. And, he really just kind of like comes out of nowhere almost in that movie because he's a secondary character. And by that, I mean, he doesn't show up right at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in later on, but then, I wouldn't say that he steals the show, but he's definitely one of the more interesting characters and you kind of want to know a little bit more about him.
Yeah.
And I thought I read back when the movie was, still out and doing well and stuff that they were thinking about doing, an idea that they had, or maybe it was, I think it was like Slash Film. They were talking about if there was an Inception sequel, what would you want to see them do? And one of them was to see, more of his character.
Oh yeah.
So definitely.
Yeah. He was awesome.
Very cool.
I think it was Todd who told me this, that, because I wasn't super familiar with Tom Hardy either. I didn't realize that I had seen him in a movie in such a larger role prior, but he was the villain in Star Trek Nemesis.
I never saw that.
No,
but
okay.
I think I can see it now. That was Picard's DNA clone,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can definitely. I can picture that character, and I can see it's. I think the nose gives it away. He has a very a distinguished nose.
Right. So yeah, even between those two roles, that's a lot of versatility right there.
Absolutely, definitely.
And that's why I'm pumped to see him in The Dark Knight Rises.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So I'm you pumped, had you had Portman, you had Bale, and you had Franco. That's it.
Yeah.
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 Cool. I think I cut you off. You were gonna say something?
Oh, I was just gonna say I don't want to get into a tangent, but I read there's somebody supposedly read the Dark Knight Rises script and read some of the plot points. And I'm kind of excited with where they're going. I don't remember what any of them are specifically, but I remember when I read it, I was like, ooh, this sounds kind of cool.
So, I would be shocked if someone got their hands on the actual script and leaked it out because
Nolan
is so good at creating red herrings.
I know.
Especially with the Batman movies.
Yeah. But I think if you wanted to see it, you'd have to go back maybe like a week at slashfilm.com. That's where I read it, I'm pretty sure.
I am purposely not going to seek it out because I want to go in blank.
Yeah. It's,
clean slate.
I almost feel like movies over the last like 15 years would have been so much more enjoyable were the internet not an existing thing, you know?
It's definitely created a different movie community.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that get altered on the way. Well, there wouldn't be nearly as many spoilers.
True, but then there's always a downside and an upside because if you think of it in terms of the pro wrestling world,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the internet, it actually almost made things better.
Right.
Now it's kind of starting to make it worse because everything's just out there and there are no surprises anymore, hardly.
Yeah.
And as far as movies go, you could say the same thing as far as giving away plot details and spoilers and stuff like that. But on the other side, there's a lot of really, really great viral marketing that wouldn't really exist without the internet.
Not to mention the internet's phenomenal for in-depth discussion after the movie.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, when I saw... when I saw Cloverfield, I was so taken by like all of the viral marketing and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was just on the net for like a full day at work, just like looking stuff up about the movie and,
yeah,
and engaging in discussions with other people about it and what I thought this was and that was and da 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 da. And J.J. Abrams is really like the master of the modern day viral marketing stuff. He's just so good at it.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've watched a movie where there's some ambiguity at some point, and directly after, I'll either hop on Netflix and read reviews, or I'll go to IMDb and start looking at the discussion forums. And
yeah, absolutely.
I love all that stuff.
Yep.
But that's kind of the reason we're here, I guess.
Very true.
So I'm going to tell the listeners and ask once again, if you have any ideas for top three categories, if you want to aim them at a particular host or co-host or just throw them out there in general, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after these words.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the biweekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hello, this is Ned Vizzini, author of It's Kind of a Funny Story, and you're listening to the Geek Generation Podcast.
We back, and we're about to go right into listener emails. Before we do, I am going to do a little more shameless begging. Yay, shameless begging. As I mentioned last week, I'm turning 30 next Ooh. Week at this point. Next Friday. Holy crap. And if any fans out there want to be ultra generous and buy me a birthday present, then there is that link that says Rob's 30th birthday on the Geek Generation site. So you can click that, and there's an Amazon wish list. And I don't think everything on there is super expensive, but I'm not really expecting anything, but you know, it was like,
hey, it was kind of
worth
a
shot, right? Yeah. Why not? I'll give it a go.
Maybe you do have a really, really big fan that lives in California or something.
Yeah.
They're going to send you a present. Who knows?
I need like a sugar mama or something.
Yeah.
Well, then let's take a look at the listener emails. We asked last week, what geek out are you most looking forward to in 2011? Do you have an answer you'd like to give before we get into the emails?
Well, sure.
That was almost a Jimmy Stewart right there.
Some people may or may not know that I am getting married in...
Holy crap, you're getting married?
Yeah, in 4 months.
That's insane.
And my geek out is the fact that, I mean, not only am I marrying a pretty, like, nerd-tastic awesome lady.
Mm-hmm.
For our honeymoon in the summer, we are going to go to Comic-Con.
San Diego.
And we were calling it the Honeymoon-a-con.
Nice.
And it's going to be awesome. Because
you guys have names for everything.
Absolutely. it's going to be awesome because production for the new Superman movie starts in April of this year. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people from that there. And we're also going to do the whole Hollywood thing and do the backlot tours. Meg knows some people that are in the industry, and hopefully they're going to hook us up with some, you know, like tours and stuff.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited. That's nice. My geek out of the year.
That's very cool. I wish I had anything that could top that, but I don't.
you know, what can you do?
The first email comes in from Mike Volpe. And he says, the release of Duke Nukem Forever. I played Duke Nukem 3D nonstop when I was younger, and I'm hoping the new Duke game will be just as fun and memorable. Yeah, I'm pumped for that, too. I loved Duke Nukem 3D, and the fact that Duke Nukem Forever is finally coming out, so excited.
Will it be on home consoles, or will it just be computer?
As far as I know, it's being released for just about everything.
Cool, because Duke Nukem 3D, if I'm not mistaken, was just for the computer, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I'm remembering the one that I remember.
Oh, yeah, I don't think consoles ago, right? were ready for that kind of game.
Yeah, that was years ago.
That was about 14 years ago.
Okay, yeah, I remember. I remember going into the strip club or whatever in the game, and the girl was dancing on the table. Yeah,
and
I remember
give that. Her money, and there's like pixelated booby tassels.
Yeah, and it's this, and that's the one where they had all the quotes from They Live and Army of Darkness.
Oh yes,
in there, yeah.
Such groovy. A great game.
Cool.
Yeah, Hail to the King, baby.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's my Duke. They're casting me for the voice of Duke Nukem.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, I love
Congratulations.
It. Thank you. Next email in from superfan Chris Tong in Wichita, Kansas.
Whoa.
He didn't actually write that. I just like saying it.
Oh.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing several movies being released in 2011, including X-Men First Class,
sure.
Super 8, Transformers Dark of the Moon, Captain America, The First Avenger, Fast sure. 5, and Battle Los Angeles. Sure, there are others that look and sound interesting, but I think these will be the huge hits of 2011. A lot of those I agree with, but
yeah.
Transformers 2 took me way out of the franchise. And
I didn't even see it.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, though, I love the first one. I thought the first one was great. But then again, I let other people see things before I do. And I don't know. I don't have no interest.
I enjoyed Transformers 1.
Bay.
Yeah, me too. At this point, some of his earlier stuff is good. But now.
Yeah. He's too full of himself.
Transformers Dark of the Moon. I am going to watch. I don't know if I'll bother in the theater, but I am going to watch it for comedic review value only.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. So there are some movies I look forward to just because I know they're going to be so bad that they'll make for a great review.
Absolutely. Well, if LaBeouf is to be trusted, supposedly this one is going to be better than the last one, and he acknowledges that the last one was garbage.
Did so, he?
Yes, he. I think I'm pretty sure he did.
No
he
kidding.
Actually also acknowledged the fact that Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was garbage too.
I disagree. But I will agree that Transformers 2 is one of the worst movies of all time.
Yeah.
Last email, because I guess we have a very short list this week, comes in from Johnny P.
Nice.
Hey, Rob, your favorite former student here. yeah. John is actually... I had him in a web design class when he was in fourth grade.
Wow.
And he's in middle school now, I think, if not
wow.
almost high school at this point. So, but he found
he's
my show.
Old.
Yeah, he found my show, and I'm proud to say that I've trained my geeks well because he's actually started his own geekery gaming website that I'll get into at the end of this because he plugs
awesome.
It there.
Awesome.
So, very proud of my former students. He says, I am not geeking out for a lot this year, for I do not know that a lot that is exciting me. I guess I'm excited for DC Universe Online. Along with the Star Wars Old Republic MMO. I'm really geeking out about Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8 in comic form, finished this month. I'm a super geek of the show, and I plan on watching Angel soon, Joss Whedon for the win. Nice. And I know Brian's listening and cheering right now.
Absolutely.
What I am freaking out about for 2011 is probably the Nintendo 3DS. Even though Nintendo is failing in every way, the 3DS will not bring them back. As most people know, the 3DS is supposed to be released in the U.S. around March to April. The gaming system is similar to 2009's DSi, and as Nintendo described, is supposed to be 3D without the glasses. That's bull. I feel there shall be no use for the 3DS except for the ability to bring Nintendo's prized oldies on a portable system. I saw the Purpose trailer, and it did not seem very impressive. I feel the Nintendo 3DS may be fun at first, but will disappoint all just like the DSi did. I'm a video game geek and a slight comic book geek. I'm a big fan of the geek generation and not surprised that you named Inception number one movie of 2010. Woo! P.S. Go to outofcontrolgaming.com. So that's his little plug at the end. I've trained my geekies well.
Very good.
Yes. So nice lengthy response there. And I agree with a lot of it. I mean, I wasn't even really looking at the Nintendo 3DS at all. So
yeah, I don't really pay attention to the handheld gaming systems anymore. I actually never really did, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Never had a Game Boy, never had a Game Gear. I was never interested in the, I was honestly more interested in the old, what were they? The Tiger Electronics.
Oh, sure. I had plenty of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were great, but I never got into the major game console handhelds.
Tiger Electronics games. I'm thinking of like my two favorite ones I had right now.
I had like a Wolverine one. It was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I assume it was yellow because they colored them all to like
probably
match whatever. I had a Garfield game where you basically go back and forth on the fence and like eat food and stuff. Yep. And Odie helps you out every now and then. That was fun. And
my brother had a football one that I didn't know how to play.
Oh. And then the most random one in the world I had was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles basketball.
Mm.
And that was interesting. And that was actually like a vertical one. It was a green. It was green, of course.
Oh.
And it was long vertically and just, I don't know. It's tough to describe, but I don't know who thought to make a Ninja Turtles basketball tiger game.
That's
but
weird.
I loved it. So whatever.
Cool. As long as you loved it.
That's right. Well, then, if we have... Oh, crap. Before I get into the news block, I almost skipped right over the poll question.
Oh, no.
I'm a horrible host. Poll question this week. Since I brought up SNL earlier, I would like to know, who is the greatest cast member in Saturday Night Live history?
Whoa. There have
been... Yeah, I know, right? There's been an insane amount of cast members that have come and gone through SNL. Some that people probably don't even realize were ever on SNL.
Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall.
Bingo. There's a ton of them. So
there was that one year where they made the transition over from like the Bill Murray, Chevy Chase years to the, to like the Mike Myers, Dana Carvey. There was that section right there where a lot of really like people you would not have ever thought would have ever been on SNL.
Yeah.
We're on SNL. Like, RDJ was only on it for, like, a season, as was Anthony Michael Hall.
Right. But. So go and find who your favorite cast member from Saturday Night Live was. And don't tell me that it's Robert Downey Jr. because you like everything he's done since then. I want to know who your favorite cast member is based on what they did on Saturday Night Live. And only what they did on Saturday Night Live. So
That's a fair request.
Yeah, because you could pretty much pick anybody and say, well, I love all the movies they've made. Unless they're Saturday Night Live themed movies, then that shouldn't really factor in, I don't think.
Right.
So if you have a favorite cast member from SNL history, please send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on the Twitter. And with that, it's time for news. Top story this week is one we just couldn't possibly avoid. We don't do a lot of tech news here, but it's all over the place. Verizon announces the iPhone 4 is coming to their network. Woo! Verizon Wireless and Apple have announced that the iPhone 4 will be available on the Verizon Wireless network beginning on Thursday, February 10th. Qualified Verizon Wireless customers will be given the exclusive opportunity to pre-order iPhone 4 online on February 3rd, ahead of general availability. In addition to iPhone 4's known features, the iPhone 4 on Verizon Wireless will also include new personal hotspot capabilities, allowing customers to use iPhone 4 to connect up to 5 Wi-Fi-enabled devices. It will be available on the Verizon Wireless network beginning Thursday, February 10th, for a suggested retail price of $200 for the 16GB model and $300 for the 32GB model with a new 2-year contract. Now, I know you're an iPhone user, correct?
I am, sir.
I am not, but I am someone on AT&T. How do you feel about the announcement that I guess everybody knew was coming eventually?
Yeah, I was in denial about it for a long time. But I think somewhere deep down in my soul, I knew that it was eventually going to happen because Apple enjoys making money, as do all electronics companies.
Mm-hmm. I noticed a post that you would be laughing at those who bought their Verizon Wireless iPhones and get locked into a 2-year contract when they're probably going to be coming out with a new iPhone, I don't know, within the next year or so.
In the summer, it's typical for them to have one. It's like clockwork for them, actually.
Right.
Every summer to have some kind of a new hot item. When the hell did the iPhone 4 come out? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But I know that from what I'm hearing, an iPhone 4.2 or iPhone 5, whatever you want to call it, is probably going to be due out this coming summer. So, you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying you're an idiot if you go get the iPhone. I'm only saying you're an idiot if you get it now, because you're going to get locked into a 2-year contract, which, you know, is the same for any cell phone company. But you've waited 3 years. Why not wait another 6 months so that you can get the newest phone that they've got out, you know? Because then you'll just be jealous of everybody that has the new one, like myself, because I'll have it.
As an iPhone user on AT&T, does this offer any temptation for you to jump ship?
No, I haven't had any network problems myself. The only thing that this excites me about is that for all those that are going to jump, it's just going to free up more network space for me. So if anything, it's going to make my experience with AT&T better.
Now, do you think Verizon's going to hit some sort of a lag in their system?
I don't think so, because from what I've read, they've kind of sort of been preparing for this for like a couple of years.
Right.
I don't think AT&T was ready, nor did they expect the influx of usage and customers for the iPhone. I honestly don't think that they thought it was really going to be that big of a deal. I mean, you know, Verizon passed on the opportunity to have the iPhone when they were first putting it out.
Right.
So obviously Verizon didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal either. So this time around, you know, the first rumblings of Verizon getting the iPhone started happening about 2 years ago. So I honestly think that they've been preparing for it for a couple of years. And I don't think that there's going to be that many problems with an influx of new customers and stuff like that. So
there are a lot of things people are talking about with this, two of which are: A, there was no monthly price point mentioned yet.
Right.
And also that there are rumors that there will be an unlimited data plan to kind of try and tempt those AT&T users to kind of jump ship.
Yeah, at this point in time, I'm grandfathered into an unlimited data, because AT&T only got rid of it recently.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say within like the last 4 to 6 months. And I'm pretty sure I'm hopefully grandfathered into the unlimited data. I think that changes, though, when my contract is up, unfortunately. But there was that. There was no mention of any price points in terms of plans. There's a couple of minute details that people, you know, like the real nerdy techies are kind of bummed out about. One of them is that with the Verizon iPhone, you can't use data and talk on the phone at the same time.
Right, right.
You can do that with the AT&T. And the other one was that you will not be able to take advantage of Verizon's 4G network.
Right.
And Verizon already has like several great 4G phones available. So I don't know why anybody would want to buy a phone that can't use 4G and would more or less be slower than plenty of other phones that they have that, you know, work just as good supposedly. But that's just me, you know, whatever.
I'm still going to stay on my opinion side of the fact that people always complain about AT&T service, whatever. I've never had an issue with the AT&T network, but I'm also not a data user and I'm not planning on being one. So I still think that the issues are with the 3G and data networks, and that's where the problems are. Me down sitting below in the voice and texting area, and that's all I use it for. I have never had an issue with dropping calls or not getting service, even in an insane metropolitan area.
Yeah.
So I'm happy where I am. I think having that kind of data access would be incredibly convenient, but A, I'm not willing to pay for it, and B, I'm not willing to sacrifice my communication ability for it. So,
yeah. As far as I'm concerned, the only two high points to the Verizon iPhone are the hotspot capability, which if you know what you're doing, you can also get that with the iPhone on AT&T. And the other thing is the Verizon's network and the global chip that they have in them, where it makes it much easier for you to use a Verizon network phone overseas and in other other countries and stuff like that. Whereas with AT&T, I'm pretty sure it's a little bit more difficult.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm not much of a traveler either, so.
Me neither.
Sweet. Next story. Regarding the Uncharted movie, there was originally announced that Mark Wahlberg would be playing Nathan Drake, and there's already controversy all over the place on this one. A few points. David O. Russell allegedly told the LA Times that the Uncharted movie would feature a family dynamic, and Mark Wahlberg announced that the Uncharted movie is happening sometime mid-year, and he will be playing Nathan Drake with Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro rounding out his family. However, Uncharted 3 game director Justin Richmond told Joystick that, quote, "First of all that stuff was denied by David O. Russell," Richmond said. "He actually called us up and was like, I don't know what these guys are talking about. And Mark Wahlberg isn't anywhere near to being confirmed to play Nathan Drake. It's just Hollywood scuttlebutt, apparently." Since that statement by Justin Richmond, Mark Wahlberg has confirmed, no, I'm playing Nathan Drake and Pesci and De Niro are going to be in it. So
it's crazy.
There's a whole back and forth and nobody really knows what's going on here.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I don't know a whole lot about the game. I have been reading a little bit about the efforts to make the film, though. And that's, you know, that kind of stuff happens. It's like the whole thing with Ghostbusters 3. It's like back and forth. Bill Murray doesn't want to do it. Bill Murray does want to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a normal kind of thing for a movie that people have a lot of time invested in, I guess you could say, or there's a lot of hype behind it. Because I would assume that Uncharted is a pretty big game, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I would assume there's a lot of hype behind a possible movie.
Definitely.
So.
There's still a big internet push for having Nathan Fillion cast as Drake instead.
He's a fan favorite for, like, everything.
I know, right?
I remember when everyone wanted him to be in Green Lantern, which I still think would have been awesome.
Yeah, but that's what I wanted.
What can you do?
I wanted him, or I would have liked Bradley Cooper in the role, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's see. The 23rd James Bond movie has been officially announced. Eon Productions and MGM has announced that the 23rd James Bond film will commence production in late 2011 for a worldwide release on November 9th, 2012. Daniel Craig will be returning as 007, with Sam Mendes directing a screenplay written by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, and John Logan.
Love it.
Yes, I am so happy that James Bond is not dead.
Well, he's never ever dead.
No, it was scary for a time there.
When you think they're not going to make any more movies, you know, they recast the part and they come back and make more movies, you know, whenever. This is the funny thing. When I've been into James Bond since I was in, like, junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a flea market and I found some old books. And they were like 50 cents each. I bought like 6 of them and I never read them.
Yeah.
But then my aunt found out that I was into James Bond. So she started buying me all the movies for Christmases and birthdays and stuff.
Mm.
It grew into almost like a fandom for me when I was in junior high. I always wanted to buy like spy jackets to wear to school and stuff. You know, it was crazy. But right around the time I started to get into it was when GoldenEye came out. And that was when I was in 8th grade, I think.
Right.
And it's just, whenever you think they're not going to do any more, they always do another one. And I think I got into a fight with somebody about how this dude, I don't even know who he was. I think he was just like somebody who was Facebook friends with Candace Michelle or something. I don't even know. He was talking about how they're not going to make any more James Bond movies because MGM's gone bankrupt. And I was like, you're retarded. So.
Right. Bankrupt in Hollywood is rarely dead and buried.
Exactly. So I'm happy. I love Daniel Craig as Bond. I think he's he's in my top three for sure. I was a big supporter of Quantum of Solace when it first came out. And then it kind of soured on it after a little while.
Yeah.
I think I might need to revisit it. But I'm excited. Sam Mendes is a great director. He doesn't he's not married to Kate Winslet anymore, so I feel bad for him because she's an uber hottie, but what can you do? Maybe he'll turn some of that angst into a great James Bond movie. I don't know.
And let's be really honest about why you got into it. You saw a book called Octopussy, didn't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, a kid in junior high seeing a book called Octopussy, it's pretty much sold right there.
It's very true.
Let's see. We previously reported that Warner Brothers has been busy shopping around a Wonder Woman TV script from David E. Kelley, but it seems that all the major networks have passed on the show. The Wonder Woman team reportedly won't give up on the project, even though it's, quote, not moving forward at this time. It's being suggested that the ultimate factor plaguing the project is the expensive licensing fee being required by the studio. How did you feel about a Wonder Woman live-action TV show coming back?
I don't know. Honestly, the only live-action show that I would like to see when Smallville is done would be like a Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. I think they could do something really, really cool with the Teen Titans live-action show.
Yep.
But I don't know. I've never been interested in the Wonder Woman character.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But at times she can be surprising. Like, the animated movie was surprisingly good.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
You should. It was really good.
I'd like to see a Green Arrow spinoff. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he wants to do it, though. So.
Yeah. Green Arrow show all on his own. That would be cool.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. They keep rolling them out. Two more characters debuted. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 debuts two more fighters. The final fighting Mayor Hagar and X-Men's Phoenix.
Sounds pretty neat.
Yeah. Were you a final fight guy at all? Or?
No, never. I was never... I never got into the Marvel Capcom games.
That's too bad.
I know from others that they're pretty kick-ass.
They are. Well, Final Fight's old school. That's some side-scrolling beat-em-upness. And actually, we saw...
I think I might have played Final Fight back in the day, maybe.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What console was it on?
Oh, God.
Was it on Super Nintendo?
I think it was on Nintendo. Originally. Actually, you know what? It might have been Super Nintendo. It could have been both. They had more than one.
My buddy had a Super Nintendo when we were in high school, and there was a fighting game we used to play on it all the time. I thought it was Final Fight, but it might have been something else. I'm not sure. I can't really remember.
Well, there were three characters you could play as. There was Cody, who was kind of like the generic guy. There was a guy named Guy, who was kind of like ninja-like and a little more gaunt, I guess you could say. And then there was a big, bulking, heavy dude with a mustache and no shirt on, and that was Hagar.
I think that was it. I think I remember that game.
And he was also the mayor, which was so odd. Like, the whole game was fighting through all these guys to get back the mayor's daughter.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's going
to
be...
The mayor was in on the action. He wanted to kick some ass.
Yeah, you don't see the politician getting in on the fight too often in these games.
You don't. You really don't.
And, of course, having Phoenix in there from the X-Men is pretty epic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And there's even one of her hyper moves actually transforms her into Dark Phoenix.
Oh, nice.
Very cool, yeah. And last but not least, there is a new Ice Age short online. The Ice Age short, Scrat's Continental Crack-Up, that can be seen in theaters prior to Gulliver's Travels, can now also be watched in its entirety online. The short promotes Ice Age Continental Drift, the fourth film in the franchise set to hit theaters on July 13th, 2012.
Get at it.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I love the Ice Age movies.
Not me.
No,
I never saw any of them. Oh. I can't. I live with the Pixar.
I know. She's keeping you from good movies.
Maybe not.
She is. The Ice Age movies are fantastic, especially the first one. I think you would like it.
Maybe I'll watch them in secret at work.
You're just trying to not get in trouble, so you're keeping your mouth shut.
Well, could be too.
Yeah. Before we go, I would like to remind the fans of the poll question. Who is the greatest cast member in Saturday Night Live history? Please send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. As we leave, is there a final thought or something you would like to plug, Scott?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I'm not into the shameless plug.
How about where can fans find you on Twitter?
Oh, fans can find me at @the_ScottToomey.
Awesome.
Yep, that's so where I something. Am. And if you don't want a endless barrage of MMA news tweets, don't follow me.
Yeah, I already put on my global filter, and you still get past it sometimes.
That's how I do it, man. Damn I got it. Sneaky skills. Damn I try. I'm gonna try since I know some people, aka Rob, don't like reading so much about it. I'm gonna try to mix it up a little bit more
Sweet.
In the future.
Sweet.
So.
So if you like this show, please tell your friends, as I always ask you to do. If you'd like to see articles on the things we talked about in this show, as well as links to other shows and other articles and reviews, visit the site at www.thegeekgeneration.com. There is a button there to subscribe in iTunes. While you're there, please rate the show and write a review. We have 4 reviews posted right now and I think total 8 ratings, so I'd love to get some of those numbers up if you have the time. There is a donation button on the site, which you shouldn't bother using right now unless you want to give me some money for no reason. But there's also that Rob's 30th birthday link if you want to go buy me a birthday present. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, send those to podcast at thegeekgeneration.com or at geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to the show, please send those to guest at thegeekgeneration.com. And I would love to get actually some stuff in from people that are just looking for little things to do. If you find a soundbite or a sound clip from TV or a movie that you would like us to play, I've been playing some of those at the beginning of episodes recently. Or if you have like a news bite or a clip or anything like that. If you make a prank phone call and you think it's real good, I would love to play some of those too. So send them on in. As always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. So as we wrap up episode... What the hell episode was this? 23? Yeah. Good lord. Thank you, Scott, for joining me, and welcome back to the show, of course.
Thank you.
We will see you all next time, sometime. So, later.